welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rumor Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papanuta, Papanuta.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjure Man Ali of ContureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and special co-host Deacon Millet of FourAltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, bringing us today's topic on lost knowledge. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjure Man Ali and Deacon Millet. Conjure Man Ali.
Thanks, Papa Dude. I am very excited to have Kat as our guest today. We've only done this one time before, but it was fantastic. And it's kind of nice. The hosts don't always get to propose a topic, and they don't always get to participate. So it's nice to take a break from host duties and be a guest. And I'm very excited to have her. Of course, joining us as guest co-host is a fan favorite, the wonderful Deacon Millet, who we all heard just recently. So welcome back, Deacon Millet. So glad to have you.
Glad to be back this week. Had a fun time last week with you and Madam Nadia, and so happy that I get to spend time with you and Kat this week.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be all sorts of fun. How are you doing? And how are things from last time we spoke, only a week ago?
Things are very nice here. Just having it under 100 degrees makes all the difference in the world. So it feels like 99 is fall, and I'm just very, very, very content.
That's fantastic. Let's check in with Kat. I want to give her a chance to, because we haven't heard from the wonderful Miss Kat in a little bit. I want to give her an opportunity to tell us how things are going in her world and all the fun things that she may be up to. So, Miss Kat, welcome to your own show as a guest. We're so happy to have you here. How are things in your world?
Oh, gosh. Well, my world is pretty nice. I've been working very hard. We've had some folks out sick and so forth. So, you know, things happen in the shop. So I've been working in the shop. I have some great news happened while I was gone. Our own dear friend and colleague and companion of the way, Aura LaForest, has turned in the complete text for her next book. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And that book is tentatively titled Women's Work. And It is root work by and on behalf and for women. And it's a really interesting idea for a book, but I can, you know, a couple of men might be looking at us right now with sort of shaking their heads and going, huh, I don't get it. But all you women will know what we're talking about. Okay. It's women's work. Okay.
Yep. No, that sounds like a great resource. I'm always wanting to refer people away for nation sacks and things, and it sounds like sending them straight to Lucky Mojo to buy this book will be a great first step.
And it's a recognition that there are certain works that are specifically for women in Buddha. That's the reality.
Right. That's right. So I'm editing the book now. And it will be out in 2017. So, you know, it's part of our regular series of books that we do. But I just want to let you know that's one reason I've been kind of keeping a low profile. I've been working on editing this book, and I'm so happy. It's fabulous. Really a lovely thing. So that's what I've been doing, making oils, sorting tumbled polished rocks, running trains, watching Jenna run trains. And that's it. That's been my day. So
well, it sounds like wonderful, wonderful work, and I look forward to seeing the book come out next year. It's very, very exciting. Let's get into our topic, because I want to give us plenty of time to talk about it. You have presented or proposed a fantastic topic called Lost Knowledge, a Rejoinder to Professor Porterfield. For those that miss Professor Porterfield's Now You Know show, definitely give it a listen this past Thursday. He introduced it. There's a section where he pontificates, and he talks about lost knowledge. And one of the things, for example, he mentioned was the decreasing quality of figural candles. Well, Miss Kat has a rejoinder to this, and we proposed this, and she's proposed this topic. So I want to turn this over to you, Kat, and ask you, when we talk about lost knowledge in hoodoo, what do you mean by that, and where would you like us to start with this topic?
Okay, first of all, a big shout out to Professor Porterfield, because without Professor Porterfield's show, I never would have thought of this as a topic. So for those of you who have not seen it, the Now You Know show, you're looking for one called Episode 74, Scrying and Lavender. Scrying being the divination that he gives, lavender being the herb, but the pontification is called Mourning the Death of Hoodoo, or You Can Lead a Conjurer to Knowledge, but You Can't Make Him Write It Down. Now, what he talked about was something that I felt, you know, he could have done a whole nother hour on. He talked about how people mourn the death of hoodoo for various reasons. Sometimes they mourn the death of hoodoo just so that they can be the conduit of knowledge or commercial success. Well, hoodoo is dead except for me. You have to come to me. None come unto the Father but through me. That's a bunch of phoniness. But we're not talking about the phony part. What he was talking about is the real death of hoodoo. And some of the things that were at one time staples of hoodoo, things that were used all the time, are no longer found. And hoodoo has become more and more urbanized, but then so have human beings. But it's also become more and more blanderized, to quote a word from my late friend Steve Gerber. And blanderization, and Deacon Millett knows who I'm talking about. The blanderization is to run things through the blender of bland, and they basically all get spooshed together, but they also become more and more tasteless, and tasteless in two meanings. They become less savory, less spicy, and they also become more and more tasteless in terms of aesthetics. They just don't show taste anymore, right? Professor Porterfield talked about this a lot, and he talked about, for instance, the old problem of malformation. Candle molds that after you use them, the metal begins to slowly wear away. Of course, a molecule at a time, and they become smoother and smoother, and the fine, crisp detail of the candle is lost. If the master was not kept for one reason or another, perhaps the person died or whatever, and new molds cannot be struck off a master, then what happens is the last candle out of the last mold is used to make a new mold. And so the next generation start off all smoogey and blobby looking. And then after three or so retakes like that, you can't even tell what the candle is. And so the only way to get the look back is to go and have someone recarve the art, and it'll never be what it was. It'll be a copy, right? So that is one of the ways that hoodoo dies out. But he did not mention something that I wanted to get into, which was candles made in China. Other thing that's happening with our old traditional candles is that in order to keep candles cheap, they're no longer being poured and cast in America. And every time a candle mold company goes out of business in America, that's one less person who can pull molds off your master. And at the present time, and this is for real, at the present time, there's no one pulling vacuum-formed molds off of masters in America at all, period. Nobody. Nobody. So as the molds get worn out or unusable, and these are plastic two-part molds with a little clip that holds them together on the sides, as those molds get worn out, those candles will go away. Because to make a silicone mold is going to be $50, $75, even $100, depending on what kind of mold it is. And you can only use those for very limited runs. You can't run 100 candles off a silicone mold. You have to wait for each one to dry. You know what I mean? It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So figural candles, as we know them, it basically America, and I sometimes feel like people are going to say, she sounds like Donald Trump. even a stopped clock is right twice a day. And Donald Trump has one thing right twice a day, and that is we've lost jobs, we've lost the American economy. It's gone. It ain't coming back. They done tore the factory down. They put the little artisans are all out of business. There's a few people clinging on, but right now those candles are made in China. Why? Because they're cheaper, and they whip air into them. I've told people about this. They whip air into them. Please buy American-made candles. But nobody does. Why? Because mm-hmm. why would you want to buy a $9 candle when you can buy a $5 candle?
Well, right.
But soon, when those people wanted to use, and as Professor Porterfield pointed out, the mummy candle, nobody uses mummy. Black cat tail-up candles, not around. The molds are gone. The candles are gone. Nobody saved a candle. You know, who has the money to spend to get someone to carve a master? And if they do, who's going to make those candles? Because there's nobody making mm-hmm. vacuum molds anymore. So we are losing a form of not just hoodoo, but a whole form of folk magic and a whole form mm-hmm. of occultism right before our eyes. Just, boop, it's disappearing. Now, let's go to something else. And again, Professor Porterfield touched on this. Endangered species. Well, we all know about that. But he did not touch on what I call endangered wild crafters. And I have to, this is actually what made me want to talk about this. So what's an endangered wild crafter? A wild crafter is a person who collects herbs and roots in the wild, cleans them, dehydrates them, and sells them by the usually 25-pound, 15-pound bag to a distributor who then breaks them down into pounds and sells them to a manufacturer who might grind them into powder, make them into little gel caps for health, or might use them as a raw material in an ointment or salve, or might sell them as a whole product in an occult shop. Mm-hmm. So the endangered wild crafter is somebody who has a makes a living on a certain territory of ground in which they wildcraft. They may also be a gardener. They may grow some of these things and semi-wildcraft them. In other words, like old Joseph Meyer did in Indiana, he plowed furrows through the forests and grew ginseng in the forest, because ginseng needs a forest to grow in. But he planted it, but it was wild, and he never tended it, and he came back 7 years later. But it was all in rows in amongst the trees, and he knew where to find it. So that's kind of semi-domesticated, semi-wildcrafted. Well, dry know right now is about 77 years old. His children don't want to do wildcrafting. His grandchildren mm-hmm. don't want to do wildcrafting. He's doing it. He's still strong. What happens when he hits 85? Who's going to do wildcrafting? Mm-hmm. Now, you all think about this. And you all think, oh, well, there's an endless supply of these fabulous, wonderful roots from Lucky Mojo. Y'all don't know how many roots come from this one endangered wildcrafter.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you, you'd freak out. People say, oh, we can get them from China, right? We can get them from Canada. No, they don't grow in China. They don't grow in Canada. These herbs grow in the U.S., right? They're, mm-hmm. Native American plants. They may not have a pharmaceutical use anymore, although they did at one time. This endangered wildcrafter used to raise these for the pharmacies, but the pharmacies don't use these herbs anymore. They now, you know, chemically cracked the formula of the chemicals that are in the herb, and that they just make the herbs in a test tube, right? Now they don't need the herbs anymore. So they just make the active ingredient is what they call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the endangered wildcrafter needs to be replaced. And anybody under the sound of my voice who is a wildcrafter, please contact Lucky Mojo. Mm-hmm. Please contact and set up your own website and start selling stuff, because we're going to lose a huge portion of hoodoo when this one man retires or, God forbid, dies. We're going to lose a lot. Now,
it's interesting that you go on. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, now, when we lose that, what happens? Well, the plant becomes a mythical plant. Mandrake. Well, mandrake's toxic, and it's British, and blah, blah, blah. And they were substituting bryony because it's kind of toxic, and no one wants to deal with it anyway, and blah, 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 blah. And we have American mandrake anyway, and so forth and so on. And the next thing, when you mention mandrake, you know what people say? You mean like in Harry Potter? The plant is still real, but nobody's growing and dealing with it, you know. It is a toxic plant. But there are many other plants that are not toxic. Hoodoo, for instance, has a fabulous plant called Shaming Judy. Shaming mm-hmm. Judy was used in all sorts of spells, but you can't get Shaming Judy anymore. It's still growing throughout the American South, but the endangered wildcrafter doesn't live quite down far south enough to get it.
Yeah. It's fascinating that what you're talking about here, so when they say lost knowledge, right, we're not mm-hmm. just referring to some type of abstract concept of knowledge, right, some theoretical.
Right.
We're talking scarcity, material culture, and that's
mm-hmm.
deeply, and you know, pardon the pun, this is deeply rooted in hoodoo itself, right? Hoodoo is not a collection of spells that are written down. They're not a collection of charms. What they are is material culture. They're tied
mm-hmm.
to things like candles, like herbs, and when those things become scarce, it has an impact on that material culture. That's very fascinating, and I don't think many people look at it that way. And there is this process of diluting, as another Shiva noted in the chat room, the photocopying, right? What happens? What indelible effects are there when that candle no longer exists? What happens when that herb no longer exists?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is the repertoire of magic is materially decreased.
Yeah.
Dick Milley, I know you have something to say on this too.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, as a person who works quite heavily with candles and this material culture and has been doing it for a while, you know, have you noticed in your own work what Ms. Kat is talking about, and how is it that you deal with it?
Oh, sure. Just trying to order deer's tongue, you know, it's impossible to find, and it's a staple. And if you've used any of the Chinese candles, and I have tried, try to carve up a hole inside and fill it up with an herb and seal it mm-hmm. shut. They're half plastic. They don't work. It is a real problem. And I, of course, my most basic fear is the moment in time that glass encased vigil candles go away.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
only knows what, I mean, that's, you know, there goes everything for me. So I'm, you know, constantly trying to be sure that I support alternate means of getting glass enclosed vigil candles, because when they go away, we're really going to be sad.
Yeah.
So I got to jump in. I'm sorry. I'm really going to interrupt you and jump in because this is going on in the chat room. People are talking about this. Gia said, posted a URL to a company, one of probably 10, 20 companies that sell pharmaceutical and aromatherapy products, essential oils, whatever. That is not what I'm talking about, Gia. These are herbs that will never be carried by an aromatherapy company because they don't have an aroma.
Yeah,
they will never
right.
be carried by a pharmaceutical company because
mm-hmm.
they have no, quote, known, unquote, pharmaceutical
yes.
value. They will never be carried by a culinary herb company because they have no known culinary quality. Hoodoo does not exist simply to use things that you could get at a grocery store. Hoodoo
right.
comes out of a lot of knowledge of things that are from nature. But not everything in nature is sold on the open market. And
no.
the endangered wildcrafter is a person who has, for the past more than 50 years, specialized in supplying occult shops. Okay. Occult shops.
That's a really good point. I think sometimes, in a very reductive way of looking at hoodoo, it's called kitchen magic. Yes, a good percentage of things can be found in the kitchen, but there's more to it. It's an accumulation of knowledge that has happened over a series of centuries and involves a connection with herbs that are no longer being used because there's historical reasons for it, as you wonderfully mentioned. You know, if a pharmacist is not using it, an aromatherapist is not using it, there's no medicinal use for it, guess what? People aren't harvesting or working with that herb anymore. And this has a real effect, and this goes right back to the Deacon Miller said, on the work that we do. I know for me, I come out of a tradition that is very based in Virginian culture, right? It has a unique style, it has a unique approach. All of you can find these sort of flavors of voodoo according to the regions that you visit. And I can tell you that as the years have gone by, you notice a difference. Certain styles of working are falling out of favor. So I see a lot of younger conjurers, for example, using only one type of working for them, maybe candles, right, and nothing else. And this is kind of a big, fascinating like moment in history because I remember there's certain working, you're like, we did that with this, not with this. And somehow it's changed because of that scarcity, because of these kind of effects on the material culture. There's almost like a diluting going on where everything becomes, as you mentioned, the blender of bland, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say, now, there are some good things that have come out of this. No one's torturing frogs to death anymore that I know of. I mean, that has fallen out of favor. Animal cruelty as a form of voodoo is gone into the past, just as it rightfully goes into the past in many other forms of religio-material culture. And that's good. I'm all in favor of that, and culinary culture, too. But I'm really talking about exactly what you said, the use of candles to replace other things. So just as an example, somebody came into my shop and they said they wanted to hot foot somebody out of town. And they said, what candle do I get for that? And they were holding a hot foot candle in their hand, and they also were holding a black, unlabeled black glass candle. Which of these do I use? I said, neither. You would use hot foot powder. And they go, oh, I don't want to use a powder. And I was standing in the oil aisle when they brought these to me, and they go, well, should I use hot foot oil on these candles? And I'm like, oh no. This person, who really should have known better, this was not a newbie. This person believed that hot foot oil predated hot foot powder, that it was the thing, and you had to put it on one of these two candles. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. The first advertisement I've ever seen dated for hot foot oil, 1945. 1945, and it says, now, popular hot foot powder for the first time ever available as an oil. Right?
I have a funny story about that, actually. There was this woman I knew who was trying to get rid of her neighbor. The first time I've ever seen anything close to a hot foot oil, right? What she had done is she had taken hot sauce and put all sorts of nasty peppers into that thing and prayed over it and put it in the food she baked. At night, she had gone and laid down powders in her neighbor's doorstep to get rid of them. And in the day, she went and gave them a meal she had used hot sauce on. And she's like, I'm going to get rid of this, you know, she cussed. And it was the only time I've ever actually seen hot foot oil, and it was meant to be kind of, it was hot sauce. It wasn't actually put on a candle or anything like that. It was just
hot sauce, vinegar, and pepper. Yeah, but see, that's a traditional way to work. Yeah. If you pray a curse over hot sauce, you've made something. You really have. But and so that's good. But now let's go back to why this person thought oil on a candle was more effective, and what they thought they were doing. The same thing happened, and I've actually complained about this before. Maybe 10 years ago. I remember saying that all of my white shop customers who didn't know much about hoodoo, they just think, oh, it's a general metaphysical store, I'm going to come in and buy some metaphysics, you know. They all would say, do you have bath crystals? Do you have baths? I want to take a bath. And they wanted to take a soaking type bath. But they wouldn't use powders. All my black customers would come in, do you have powders? Because they know how to use them. So I've mentioned this before. Now, by writing about it for 25 years online, I've actually gotten to people to change their thinking. And now, actually, I have more white people who do know how to use powders. So part of what Professor Porterfield said is you've got to write it down. Had I not written about it, that division or split between the white community and the black community, which the white community thought they knew hoodoo but didn't really know that powders are an essential part of hoodoo, they would never have picked it up, but I wrote about it endlessly and explained it endlessly. So the other adjuration upon all of us is to continue to teach old school methods. And don't let someone come to you and say, hey, what candle do I use for this? You say, well, let's back up. Do you really need a candle? Is that what you really want? And I do it all the time. And, of course, half the time they still do want a candle. But I at least have to say I tried. You know, we need to continue to teach, as Nagashiva said in the chat room, continue to teach old school methods.
And it's one of the problems with virtualization. I mean, as do this work for people who are on the other side of the world, it is virtualized. I can virtually cleanse them from a distance, but that is not the tradition. The tradition is hands-on cleansing, hands-on hot foot powder, hands-on foot track. And this is definitely part of the non-locality, the non-geographic specificity of the modern age. And hoodoo just, it came about one-on-one. That's what it was. It was something done in the home and in the workplace. So there are definitely, it's one thing to make these shifts out of necessity, but it's another thing to lose the original. And that, that is what we're talking about, is losing that original.
Absolutely right. I mean, after all, candle work is a very important part of hoodoo. We're not in any way, shape, or dismissing. It's a very powerful form of work. You're totally right. And the virtualization has an effect. There's also an element of fantasy here, right? So what happens is that hoodoo is seen as something that you do in your bedroom. It's fantasy days, it's play acting, it's role playing. So you can do a couple things, you set up a beautiful altar and you're good to go. And you don't actually do the work itself. You don't actually go out. Part of hoodoo is very much, I mean, contact magic and sympathetic magic goes right back to those old anthropological ideas, right? Old school work that almost all folk traditions have in common, that you actually, magic involves contact with the real world, and not just kind of these sacred spaces hidden off in your bedroom with candles. The result of that result of the kind of play acting and fantasy, is that you end up having a demand for a certain type of thing over others. And this is, you know, Miss Kat, you mentioned it, why you end up getting people who are only looking for hot foot candles and hot foot oils, because that plays much easier into the fantasy playing than it does, wait a minute, I have to go out and actually lay these powders down? I have to actually go to that person's property? I have to bury this thing? I have to go out to the crossroads? It's a very different. So demand plays a big role into this. And I think, so you have this intersection of scarcity of material culture, as well as the shift in the kind of the value culture, what people put value in. And that's having an effect on hoodoo in a very kind of concrete way.
Yeah. I my comment on this is it's the reduction of all hoodoo to altar work. Everything is done on an altar. And it becomes... And I think you're right when you say an element of fantasy. I actually have a slightly more contemptuous name for people. Now, I'm not saying that altar work is bad. I do altar work the time.
Yeah,
but I'm talking
about
people who only do altar work and only want to buy supplies for altar work and will not consider contact magic or any or written prayers or anything. Nothing. No, not a bathing. They won't even bathe. It's all altar work. And I call them Barbie doll layout players. They've created a little Barbie doll world, or My Little Pony, you know what I mean? They've made a little altar world in which everything happens on the altar. But I, for instance, if I say to them, I just had a client come in. In fact, this is a perfect example of this. I had a client come in, and she was telling me that she wanted to get this person back in her life, that they had had a breakup and so forth, and she said that she had unfortunately gone to some phony readers, and that, I said, well, what did they tell you to do? And she goes, oh, well, one of them da-da-da and had me write a letter. And I said, oh, really? That wouldn't be phony. She had you write a letter. And she said, oh, I had to write her a letter with my intentions on it. I went, oh, that's phony. In other words, the worker said, send me a letter with your intentions about this young man. Right? That's not hoodoo. That's not even good folk magic. That's not
when you
even
said that, write a letter, I was nodding along. You had me
right,
going.
You're nodding along.
Yeah,
write a
letter.
Right, yeah, okay, and then you go, and I
yeah,
actually said to her, what? Yeah, right. And I go, and what powders did she have you put on the letter? Powders? No, I just sent her the letter with my intentions. Right. I don't know who that worker was. I know it was not someone in air. I asked her, and it was not. Yes, Nagashiva in the chat room is saying, send a letter in the air. This is a line from an old song. I wrote a letter. I mailed it in the air. Right. Sending a letter in the air actually is an old form of work where you actually write the letter, and if you don't know the person's name, you send it in the air. You can put it in a hollow tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, or you can burn it and let the ashes fly in the air. It's the letter to nowhere. You can also, another way to do it is to send it to general delivery in the town that they live in. So thank you, Shiva, for that little side thing. But in any case, the point is, intention was the key word that this root worker, so-called, and I'm going to say so-called, this person was not a real worker. This person said, send me your intentions, and I will put them on my altar. Okay, groovy, but that's not, I'm sorry. The lady actually, because I had done a reading on her at the time when we were talking, the lady needed to actually reach out and contact, and the root worker was springing her along and saying, oh, they'll call. I'm sure they'll call. No. You need to send them a letter. You know where they are. Put your fingerprints on. And I made this poor client blush. I said, write a letter. Kiss the letter. Rub the letter on your naked bosom. Rub the letter on your pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Then send. And she's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah. It's women's work.
It's women's work. You know, that's funny because it really brings up two things. One is a similar example. I used to make the money protection gambling charms with alligator claws, and you put a coin in it. And you've probably seen that. A very old school.
Oh, sure, of course. I make them too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You wrap them up with a red string. You anoint them, you pray them. And then over the years, when people come to me for gambling work, money protection with money, and I offer this to make this, they go, oh, no, ew, ick. That's not what I want. Can't you just light some candles? And so there's been a marked decrease in these like actual physical items that I used to send out because people just don't want them, right? Like to them, me sending them this charm, this alligator talisman, it was ew. And so you can see the exact thing you're talking about, this kind of diluting, and it's just like, I'm sitting here going, what happened, right?
And what do they say when you say, and have your girlfriend take it into the bathroom and pee on it?
This is stuff that the mind completely gives up. Urine work completely, like if I tell a client nowadays, look, to protect railroad urine, they go, wait, what? I mean, I grew up in a tradition where you woke up in the morning and in silence you gathered your first urine, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was what you were supposed to do. Nowadays, like when you recommend it to clients, it's like, no, you can't do the ew, wait, what? It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, when I kind of step back and just look at this from as a historian or an anthropologist or a folklorist, like, wow, this is a moment. This is a real moment. The other aspect that we got to like really kind of ask both of you is the role of technology, right? You mentioned letters, Muscat. That's one of the things I noticed, like resumes. We don't send resumes anymore, right? So I think technology also plays a big role in this. While it's great, it helps us connect all over the world, it also has created a kind of space where that element of contact is starting to become less and less. You send emails, you send texts, you send all these different things. I told the client once to capture someone's voice, right? It's like, well, we never talk on the phone. I'm like, oh, God. Right? We never see, we text only. I'm like, oh. So So, you know, technology, I think, plays a role in this as well. There's a conflation of forces going on that dilutes and kind of makes things bland, so to speak.
I just have to give a shout-out here to Nagashiva, who knows me very well. When I mentioned Barbie layouts, actually, when I talked to Shiva and my really close friend, I called them Perky Pat layouts. And but nobody knows who Perky Pat is, because Perky Pat was a science fiction story called The Days of Perky Pat by Philip K. Dick, and it was incorporated into his novel The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch. And his he had seen, Barbie had just been introduced, and he'd seen little kids playing with Barbie, and it horrified him. And so he came up with a science fiction story in which people lived on Mars, and Mars was so horrible, and their jobs were so horrible, and their lives were so horrible that all they could do was take this drug, which was a thinly veiled allusion to cocaine, and play with Perky Pat layouts. So, yes, Shiva, you won the cookie! But he knew, when I say Barbie to the public, I really mean the Perky Pat. But anyway, but Miss McHale knew it too. She wrote Horse Lover Fat, and she knew who I was talking about. Sorry for a digression.
Can I ask you, Kat, and then Dicky Meltzer, let's end this on a positive note. How can we, or how can the average person who is wanting to practice conjure, who really is interested in voodoo, how do you kind of push back against these forces? How do you support your local, you know, can it be supporting your local hoodoo shop? Can it be, what is it, some things they can do to make sure that it doesn't become diluted? What are some concrete steps they can take?
Well, I'm gonna say, first of all, if it doesn't have herbs and roots in it, it probably isn't root work.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
Stop and think
Great.
About that for a moment, right?
Yeah, agreed.
And I'm preaching to the choir here. But if someone tells you, just say your intention and then write it on a piece of paper and fold it up, and, you know, that could be good enough. But probably if you're getting a whole lot of information from somebody that never mentions herbs and roots, it's not root work. It might be general magic. So one thing is to look for spells and look for work that does use roots, herbs, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is to write down the spells that you know. And as Professor Porterfield said, write them down. And pass them along. Okay, well, we're out of time, so I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Kat, for bringing us this fantastic topic. It was wonderful and very, very interesting, and hopefully people learned from it, as well as the suggestions right there at the end. Let's move on to our reading that people are definitely waiting. So let's have Papa Nuke come in and guide us forward.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Tower, your host, Conjurman Ali, special co-host Deacon Millett, and this week's special guest, Ms. Catherine Ironwood, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8555. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting our callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Nuke, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 480 in Arizona. This is Starlight. Starlight, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you are welcome, and welcome to the show. And if I understand correctly, that you have called previously before in the past?
Yes, I have. This is my second time
calling
the show. Thank you.
Welcome.
But I signed
up for the
forum, so I found out about it from the show.
Oh,
so.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And I do see that you have not had a reading with Ms. Kat, Conjurman Ali, or any other readers or root workers on this situation. That's correct?
No, I have not.
All right. Thank you. And Starlight writes, looking for new career opportunities and would like some advice. Turning it back to you, Conjurman Ali.
Thank you for
thank
that, Papa New. I'm going to ask a couple questions. We're going to have Deacon Millett do the first reading, followed by our guest, Kat. And I'm going to give you some root work. Now, you said you weren't looking for new career opportunities. Can you be just a little bit more specific? Are you currently working?
Yes, I'm currently working. I have had some blockages happen at work. I've not had opportunity for promotion. And now the company is going through a downturn. And while I've been notified I'm not going to be impacted, now I'm looking for different opportunities.
You're looking for different options as things are kind of stalling. Okay, and what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm right on the cusp. I'm a Taurus, 29-degree Taurus, a Gemini. And my rising is Gemini.
Okay, so you have some knowledge of astrology there. So let's have Deacon Millett, who himself is a phenomenal astrologer, do your first reading, and then we'll have Kat come in. So, Deacon Millett.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and pull three cards from the Tantric Dakini Oracle deck here. The first one is Fire of Sacrifice, and this shows the cradle of a volcano with flames coming out of it, ready for a virgin sacrifice. This is a very good time for you to find another job and get away from what you're currently doing. If you're not careful, you're going to have no job at all. Things do look rough. You may even need to sacrifice some of your dreams and ideals in order to just make a living with this Fire of Sacrifice card. The next card is Centering the Present, and this card shows a mandala on the surface of the moon, and this is very much about the day in, day out doing of things. So very much about getting your resume out there, about doing it consistently and on a daily basis. Set a number of resumes you're going to send out every day, set a number of websites you're going to search on a daily basis. This is a daily methodical card, and it's about very real-world actions. So center on what you can do today, get it done. Don't freak out about the far-flung future when this card is present. This card says focus on what you can do today. The third card here is Montmeru's Center of the Universe. And this card shows a mountaintop high above the clouds. This is the card of loneliness. And what I would say about this card is that you're feeling like you're in this alone. You need to figure out who your network is, who are the people that care about you and who will look for jobs for you. What do you know from previous jobs? Who can you reach out to? Because I don't like this lonely feeling that you've got going for you right now, this I'm in it all alone. You do have a network of friends. You just need to figure out who these people are. And even if you haven't talked to them for 2 or 3 years, you know, just send out an email saying, hey, I thought about you today and I'm looking for work. And if anything that you think is appropriate shows up, send it my way, because it's very hard to just get a job out of thin air. And this card really says work on your networking, work with other people.
So very interesting, because I did do that, and it was just by fluke. I mentioned it to somebody, and she recommended try to look for government jobs. And I never considered that area, and I've applied for positions at a little local city, and she definitely recommended, you know, focus on the city level, not the state level.
Thank you.
So I'm already working on it, so it's perfect, yes.
That's great. Thank you, Deacon Millett, for that fantastic reading. Let's have Ms. Kat do the next reading and see what advice and insights that she can provide.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm using the Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot, and this is what's called the old three-card cut. I'm just cut the deck in three and put down three cards. So the first card I have is the Page of Swords. And this really relates to some of your Gemini qualities more than your Taurus qualities, because it is a woman who has an air sign dominant. She runs out into a field with a sword, waving it like she's going to lead her troops into battle, but she looks and turns just for a moment and looks behind her. There's nobody following. And overhead, there's a flock of birds, and they're all flying one way, but one bird turns back and they all turn. And there's a bank of clouds, and all the clouds have been going one way, but like a front comes in and they turn back. So this is a card that says you may be at a moment here, but as you said, the company is not doing as well. You've been told your job is not in jeopardy. I'm not so sure about that. You may have to rethink and go back to some other plan B here. It does say, though, if you jump prematurely and look for something else prematurely, you may regret it and think, oh, I should have been there. I need you to understand that this is in the nature of the questing mind of a Gemini. Everything is the best when it's novel and new, and it is not always the best after you've been in it for a while. But you need to consider that if you try prematurely without a real solid place to land, like I'm going to quit the job now, I'm too tense, that would be very, very bad. You will have no one following you. So it may take more than one start. This may be a false start. Even this call may be a false start. Things may settle down. But don't jump until you are ready to jump, basically, is what I would call this, okay?
Okay.
Once you go, you are going to be actually have to follow through on that. Now, the next card is also a card that involves several people. So, as was mentioned before, this is about a network of people working together. And these may be people that you knew through your job previously who are now no longer at that place but are working somewhere else. This may be somebody who you've known who is a parallel colleague but never worked at the same company you did. What the card is called is the Three of Pentacles, and it shows three people collaborating to build a big church. One is a monk, one is an architect, one's a stonemason. They all have different talents and skills. They're not exactly holding exactly the same function, but they cooperate together. Each one of them is integral to the completion of the task. So this says, again, teamwork may be for the best. This card is an unusual card in that it's a coin card. Pentacles are coins, but it has no golden coins on it, so it shows no money. So you may not be able to get a raise or get a better financial situation, but you may get a place that has a better corporate culture or that does work more philanthropically minded, even to the point of being a government agency or a nonprofit, because the fact that this is a church, back in the old days, a church would have represented, you know, church and state were intertwined. And so we look at this as sort of some sort of institution. It could be a university is another possibility. It could be any kind of a place where work is being done for the good of all. And the third card is the Emperor. And this is an older man who guards a rocky territory with a little creek or river down below and behind him. He has been a warrior all his life. He has the armor of a knight on. And then over that, he has put the red robe of a king. And then over his shoulders, he has thrown the purple cloak of an emperor, which takes the form of a shield on his shoulders. So he's like the shield of his people. He has a crown. He has an ankh for long life. And he has an old white beard. And he has a sphere in his hand, which represents the globe of the earth. So he stands for temporal power. He's a little bit on the stern side. Some people think of him as ex-military or ex-legal profession or a judicial profession. He has some standing. This man is symbolized with the sign Aries. So my guess is what you want to look for is a place where you will be working under somebody who has a long career in whatever your field is and wants an understudy, someone who will respect his years of knowledge and will work with him on his team. This person may appear to be a little older, but how old are you, hon?
I am 48.
48. Okay, so this is a person closer to retirement age.
Okay.
But he's still very vital. I mean, I would say this is a person 55 or older.
Oh, okay.
And this would be a, if you were offered an opportunity to apply for a job with such a person, that would be my first choice. If I was offered that and a young team of hotshot women, no, go with this older guy. Now, not all opportunities are that clear cut, but I would say that you might want to consider that as possible. So the three cards put together is don't jump prematurely. Don't worry yourself or fret yourself. When you're ready to go, go. And you're wanting to work with friends. You're wanting to get into a university, a government, a nonprofit, a charitable institution, someplace where secure tenure is, the reward of loyalty, as opposed to a venture capital-funded growth opportunity type of place.
Yeah. Yes, and that's exactly why I'm attracted to the government opportunities.
Yes. So. Yeah. And then the third is a good older man for a boss, and it could be an older woman, too. Gender is not as important in these cards as people think it is. But a good older person who has a secure background and has themselves come up through the ranks. In other words, they're not the son of the board of directors president. You know what I mean? They're somebody who's really worked hard to get where they are. They really are looking for a helper. So that's how I see what you should do. Now, in order to get to where you're going to go, you're going to want to do some root work. So let's see what we can do for the root work here.
What is the question for you? Are you capturing any timing by any chance? You said don't jump soon, but...
As far as timing goes, I'm looking at fall or winter on these cards because the first card is summer, big summer puffy clouds. The next one is timeless because it's in a church. The next one has got a kind of a reddish golden tone to autumn. So before winter or between now and the new year might be the time to start planning this movement.
Perfect.
Thank you, Ms. For that fantastic reading. I'm going to give you some root worker advice, and then I'm going to see if Kat or Duke and Millet have any adjustments to make or anything that they would like to add. Ideally, in a situation like this, especially if you're looking to kind of move in a different direction, a mojo bag is ideal. So get yourself a small red flannel bag, and you're going to put in there alfalfa and alkanet. This is to help protect your money and your job while you're in this unsteady pay, situation. I always include alfalfa and alkanet in my money work. It's a good way of protecting what you have. Add some cinnamon, gravel root, and five-finger grass. You're going to take some money, a $20 bill, a dollar bill, $5, whatever you want. You're going to write your petition on there. You write down all the qualities you're looking for in a job. You're going to write down what that job offers you. It's close to your house. It's steady. It gives you good income, opportunity for advancement, and so on and so forth. You're going to put right in the center of that dollar or that bill, you're going to put a magnet, a small little magnet, and you're going to put some magnetic sand on it. Fold this up, tie it with red string to hold it together, and place it with the herbs and roots into the bag. Tie it three times with three knots and feed it whiskey and keep it on them. This is your mojo bag, your personal spiritual ally and charm that will help find you the job that you listed with all the qualifications in your petition paper. Feed it once a week, pray over it, hold it, squeeze it, keep it warm, rub your hands together on it, and take it with you wherever you go. When you go to any type of interview, say, you mentioned a government job or something like that, what I want you to do is keep some grains of paradise, just a couple of them, in your mouth, and when you're waiting for the interview, very carefully, surreptitiously, spit out those grains of paradise so that your boss is going to walk over them. They're very small. No one will see them. Very easy to do. I know some people are very nervous or comfy. I'm not talking about hocking up a loogie or making this big old spit noise. You're just spitting out these small grains of paradise out onto the carpet or the floor. Make sure that you've also anointed your hand with box sticks oil and steady work oil. Not a lot, I don't want you to be overwhelming it, but you want, I'm just saying, your hands are overly oily, but just a little bit in the palms of your hand, rub your hands together, make them nice and warm. And when the interviewer comes out, you're going to look them directly in the eye, smile, and shake firmly so that you touch them with that oil. Do this. These are the combination of these workings, and I expect that you will have no difficulty finding the job that you desire. We have a few minutes left, so I want to ask Ms. Kat to come in first and then Deacon Millet to see what they can add to this.
Can I just ask, how do I feed it? You said feed it every week and pray over it?
Whiskey. You want to take the mojo bag and you want to give it some whiskey.
Whiskey. Okay.
So it's very, the thing I have to add here, this is the third spell in a row today with Grains of Paradise in my life. I just had two customers. Yeah. This is Grains of Paradise Day, folks. I just had two customers in the shop who wanted individual spell recommendations, and both of them had situations in which Grains of Paradise came up, and/or/ginger, which is related to Grains of Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird one, I just have to say, was one of them. She was trying to work on her husband while her husband was in the shop. And he said, I don't want any of this stuff, honey, but I want these. And he put down a tin of Chimes ginger chews and slammed it on the counter and walked away. And I said, there's your ginger. And she goes, well, I thought you meant like real ginger. And I said, no, he just bought this. That's his ginger. Ask him for one. Use it. But I had already told her, she already had a package of Grains of Paradise there. And I said, so there you go, ginger, Grains of Paradise. So for some reason, Grains of Paradise is one of those things, by the way, which when we talked in our earlier discussion on things that are being lost to hoodoo, I did a call out on him today twice to customers because I could have just said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, use ginger. Or use black pepper. But ginger plus black pepper doesn't equal Grains of Paradise. Grains of Paradise are Grains of Paradise, right? And so each time I very carefully said Grains of Paradise, and they'd never heard of them, ever.
Wow.
And I thought, I was preparing for the show. That is one of the herbs that is being lost. But now you just came out with it. You read my mind.
So, Deacon Miller, I think we have 1 minute. Just real quick, any additions you'd like to?
Oh, I have a comment that is on topic but not helpful. I was making inflammatory confusion powder yesterday, so was definitely thinking about Grains of Paradise as well.
That's funny.
This tells me that our caller is. This is a must. With all this Grains of Paradise going on, that is the single aspect of this that you have got to take away with you.
It's a sign.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Definitely use it. It is one of those things that's falling out of favor, but I swear by it. So hopefully that was useful. Hopefully that was useful to you.
Archives. I have another
Real quick,
question.
We don't have any more time. I'm so sorry. You can always call, but listen to the archives. Make sure that you write down the spell and follow it as best as you can. Thank you for your call, and we wish you all the best. Let's have Papa Newt come in and take this forward to our next call.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of practical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online service of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 559 in Fresno, California. This is Letty. Letty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, welcome. And did I pronounce your name right?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. And this is your first time calling, so welcome to the show. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Conjure Man Ali or any other readers on this situation. Is that correct?
Did you do one with Miss Ada like a month ago?
That's my fault. I overlooked that. Totally sorry about that. Oh, she's a wonderful person. Right. My ex and I broke up, and I lost his trust because there was a misunderstanding, led him to think I cheated. We've been seeing each other, but he won't give me the girlfriend title again. He's sweet to me, but then he distanced himself from me. I'm very confident in my work, but when he's starting backing away and makes mean comments, it's hard to let it get to you. Turn it back to you, Constantly.
Thank you for that, Papa Newt. I'm going to do your first reading, followed up by Miss Kat, our guest, and then our wonderful guest co-host, Deacon Millett, will give you some root work advice. And there really is no better person right now to really talk about, to give you that such advice than Deacon Millett, who's got a very strong hand in cases like this. I do want to ask you a few questions. You made a statement. You didn't actually have a question. Are you asking, are you two going to get back together? Will you become a girlfriend? What is your actual question?
Yeah, I want to know if he's going to give me that title back and if we're going to get back together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And you, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Gemini.
And what sign of the zodiac is he?
Sagittarius.
Okay, interestingly. You said that there was a misunderstanding that led him to think that you cheated. Now, hopefully you clarified that, because, I mean, that's a big misunderstanding. Either you cheated or you didn't. If he's got that perception, have you sat down, talked about it, and cleared that up?
Well, we got into a heated argument, and I left a couple hours, and he thinks I went and cheated on him. We were on vacation,
but
there was no cheating.
And you've told him that, right?
Yes, and he has trouble trusting me.
Okay, well, pull three cards here. And, you know, there's definitely some problems. First and foremost is the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune is a wheel that constantly is spinning. There's a sphinx at the top that represents a mystery. There is a cyclical aspect to this relationship. While I do sense that things will get better, then something will happen, and it will cause distance between you. You should note that this cycle keeps on spinning and spinning until something happens to either stop the wheel or change the course of time. So your current kind of lukewarm back and forth with him is something that's going to require a big intervention in order to change. More importantly, there is a sphinx here that indicates a mystery, meaning that there's more than just a misunderstanding and miscommunication here, right? There's something else going on that's a serious problem on his end, the kind of issue that he is working out through. Because the reality is that if he thought you cheated and you go, oh, I didn't, that's just a misunderstanding, that should resolve things, right? And it doesn't lead to immediate, like, oh, no, misunderstandings get resolved. And the reason why I say this is because the next card I have is the Four of Cups. Here we have a man with his arms crossed, refusing the offer of a beautiful golden goblet that is being handed to him. The golden goblet is coming out of a cloud. This is resembling the Ace of Cups, which is meant to be pure love and adulation. And he's refusing that cup because there are three other goblets before him. It actually has less to do with him trusting you and more with what he wants and what he thinks he may have in the future. He's trying to keep his options open. I don't think he's a bad guy. He's not wicked in any way, shape, or form. But there is a bit of a grass is greener on the other side. He's trying to have his cake and eat it too. You guys have a relationship, but he's not giving you the girlfriend title. So this has less to do with you know, oh, he just can never come to trust you again. Either he can trust you or he can't. It's really that simple, you know?
Yeah.
Right now he's in this state of wanting to kind of play that out longer. By playing out this, I can't trust you, I'm not sure, I can trust you, he's able to kind of keep this everything where it is right now, which benefits him. He's not fully committed to you, so if he decides to change his mind and do something else, you can say, hey, look, I never accepted your offer. On the other hand, he wants to keep you close because what you offer him is something beautiful. So this is very much a kind of a risk he's taking. And so the final card that I have is the Ace of Swords. The Ace of Swords is not a love card, but it is a card of sacrifice and a very serious conversation. It's about brutal truth and honesty. Unlike the Four of Cups, which shows us this golden goblet coming out of a cloud, here we have a hand holding a sword that's coming out of a cloud. You're going to need to do, first and foremost, sit down and ask yourself, do you want to keep putting up with this, right? Are you willing to accept a person who's going to put you through that? You need to be honest with yourself. And if the answer is no, walk away. Cut that, make the sacrifice. If the answer is yes, you then need to have a real, honest conversation with him. It needs to be brutally honest. It needs to be all the cards out on the table. Are we in this or are we not? And if not, then stop dragging, then stop, you know, stringing me along, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to use magical work. You're going to do root work to help soften this. It doesn't need to be a fight. It just needs to be honest. The Ace of Swords is one of victory, but the victory that comes at with a sacrifice. So there is a chance here, but it's going to be costly and it's going to be difficult. It's going to require you to really have an honest conversation with yourself. This is what I see here. I'm going to have the wonderful Miss Kat do the second reading, and then we'll have Deacon Miller give you some root work.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to add just a little pragmatic concept here. He thinks, as Miss Michael said in the chat room, he thinks you got naked with somebody in the 2 hours you were away in a strange town among strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I added to that question, what would cause a man to think that?
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever done such a thing himself? Does he, you know, Gemini and Sagittarius are known for their roving eyes and their roving fingertips, I guess you could say. And
mm-hmm.
so, you might wonder why a man, when a man says he doesn't trust you over something that's kind of bizarre,
mm-hmm.
you might not trust him. I'm just going to say it because it had to be said. Experience is the teacher in that regard. Now, I'm going to put out three cards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, it's almost as if my reading is carrying on from the previous reading. The previous reading ended with the Ace of Swords. I have not now gotten to the Queen of Swords. I'm just going to do three cards.
Oh, yeah.
And the Queen of Swords is a woman on a throne who holds a sword in her hand. So we're back to swords, cutting things apart, making decisions, and seeing what the future holds here. The woman who's the Queen of Swords is sitting beckoning, come to me. But she also holds a sword in her other right hand. Come to me and I will judge, is basically what she's saying. She has a butterfly crown of golden butterflies, meaning many beautiful, brilliant thoughts in her mind. Overhead, one bird alone is flying. She has to make her decisions on her own. And what this says is, if you beckon to him and he does not come, it may be the end of the relationship. This is a situation that may have you going on alone, not for the rest of your life. But I do think that Ali was completely on point when he said that the guy finds an advantage in
mm-hmm.
keeping you on tenterhooks. He finds an advantage in not giving you the girlfriend title again. So the next card I have here is a card called the Card of Balance, a Two of Pentacles. It shows a person trying to juggle two coins. Which one weighs most? There's two ships behind them on the sea. The sea is going up and down. They're off balance. The relationship is a bit off balance right now. The power dynamic has shifted. Instead of being co-equals, equally in love, suddenly you're the beggar and he's the one on top. The tap dance is not stable. If the two do
yeah.
not balance out, this is not going to work for a long time. It's a temporary situation. But you need to put a clear eye on this and look at this from the standpoint of clarity. If this does not resolve soon, how long will you wait? If he cannot call you his girlfriend in 3 weeks, 3 months, what's it going to be? How long are you going to wait? 3 years and say, oops, I walked off in an argument and was gone for 2 hours, and now 20 years later we're still talking about this? It should not last. So the card, mm-hmm. the Two of Coins, says it's time to rebalance. But if you cannot rebalance, the next card, and it's a serious issue. The next card is something seriously to think about. It is the card of someone leaving a situation, and it is called the Eight of Cups. And it shows someone walking away in the night from a beach where there were a bunch of cups were laid out in a little pattern, and one of them is missing, leaving only eight. And someone is walking away with their back to us, probably holding one of the cups. Now, cups represent the heart or love. And this is like a little bit of your heart is going to be taken. But he may leave you. You may leave him if this cannot be made right again. So there's a warning in this card. It's not a prediction, but it's a warning. And there's a moon overhead looking down sadly as this person walks away. And the person is returning from the beach back to the source, where the spring, where all the water came. They're walking up the side of a river. And so we say, return to the source. Remember when you first met. And if he cannot return to the source with you and recapture, maybe not the excitement of your early relationship, but the happiness of the thing, do not accept a part way here. Don't tell him. Don't threaten. Don't have an argument. But it says to me that it's time to return to the source. Now, if the source is not him, but the source is your own capacity to love, your own loving nature, your own hope for a marriage or whatever it may be, return to that source. And if he's not there at that source waiting for you, then you're going to start over again searching for someone new. So the answer here is not terribly yes, 100%. Oh, yeah, it's all going to work out. This is actually a little bit on the darker side and says you need to rebalance the power dynamic in the relationship before you can even determine whether this is going to go anyplace good for you. And by rebalancing it, we're going to give you some idea of some root work perhaps that you can do while you're waiting, looking for clarity and looking to rebalance the relationship. I'm sorry that these cards are not more positive, but if I were to give you a, we might call it a percentage chance, these cards say to me you have a less than 50% chance of this working out. But that doesn't mean don't do it. You're going to try to do the work, and that may help and influence you and get the work going in the direction that you really want it to go.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. That was a fantastic reading.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can get Deacon Millett to give you some root worker advice. He is very skilled in situations where, you gotta sort out a lover. So Deacon Millett, if you can help with that here.
Well, I want you to start with two white candles, one for each of you, and I want you to dress those candles in Clarity and Van Van oil, and then at the base of each candle, I want you to put a little bit of Solomon's heel root, a single coffee bean, and a little bit of rosemary, okay? So that Solomon's heel root is going to help bring some wisdom to the situation. The coffee bean will help wake you up to what's going on, and the rosemary will help to restore your power in this relationship. And I want you to let those burn, and I want you to pay attention. One of those candles is you, and one of those candles is him, and I want you to pay attention to how they burn and how it feels as they burn. Does he burn faster than you do? Are you more steadfast? Does his candle flame waver a lot? Does your flame dance? Does either of the candles go out at any point and need to be relit? And I want you to then take that information away with you and decide what you want to do moving forward. If you do choose to do love work on him after that, I think a simple sugar jar is the way to go. Take a photo of the two of you, and I want you to fold it in half so that you're facing each other inside of that photo. And I want you to put a hair from each of you inside there and seal that photo shut with honey or maple syrup.
And then that photo I want you to stick into a jar of sugar. And you can place licorice root, rose petals, a little calamus to give it a little force, because this needs to be a forceful working. This is not someone that you want to be in. He already likes having you in a position of weakness, and you need to fight back a little bit in that. But if you do decide to pursue it, and I'm not advising that, just use a simple sugar jar with some calamus to enforce your will, some rose petals to soften the situation a little, and licorice root to force a little love there. And I have to say, if this happens one more time, I would be done. I cannot countenance people who believe lies about me. And you should not have to be in a relationship with someone who thinks these horrible things about you. What's the use? Our partners in life need to think the best of us.
I agree there too, and this is kind of what I was saying with these cards. I don't want to dash someone's hope in a reading, but the problem here is things have gotten out of balance, and you have to say to yourself, why does this person want you under their thumb that way? It just doesn't seem right. And it's a very, truthfully, everybody in the chat room is saying, it's a very bizarre accusation. And, you know,
it
comes
from him. It's not about you. It comes from him. And this cat hit the nail on the head with that when she said that. You know, that came up in the Sphinx, and it's also in that Four of Cups. It's advantageous for him. It helps him out to play this, oh, I can't trust you card. It really does.
And I have to say, I mean, unless you came home a stinking drunk with some man's semen on your face, where is he, you know what I mean? Where is he making this shit up from? Excuse my language. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just, you know, that he's just working it. He's working it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you're innocent, he should say, God, I was so worried. I was afraid that would happen. And Shiva, ever the kind, compassionate one, says, well, maybe he's been betrayed by others before. Yep.
Yeah.
And that would be, but then, as Conjurman Ali said, then you have that serious talk. If you talk and say, have you been betrayed by others before? And he breaks in and cries, yes, my last lover cheated on me. Okay, all right. Then we have a narrative that's coherent. He has a reason for doing it. Other than that, he has no reason. If he has some sort of difficulty trusting all people, you know, he was raised in foster care and everyone abused him. I mean, he may have had a very, very bad past, but it's not your job to be his therapist, although it is your job to be his companion. Have that honest talk first. We're not saying the man is all wrong and crazy and just trying to rule and control you, but we're saying there's something screwy here that, you know, 99 is not adding up to 100 here.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you,
Ms. Kat. Thank you, everyone, for the best. And thank you for trusting us with your situation. We wish you all the best. We are going to have a brief break for some announcements, and we're going to come back with our final segment of the show.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Miss Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California. Take it away, Miss Cat.
Hi. I'm going to bring you some old-fashioned work. When we talk about work that is really, really old, you know, I mentioned before, you have to write it down. So I'm going to talk about things that were written down, and that does not make them unreal. And that's a whole other thing. Hoodoo is not always taught, from mouth to ear. And one of the things that I like to do is look through older material that gives you something about the past. And so this is an older, one of the oldest spells I know, that it's a doll baby for hot-footing somebody. And it is very much in the style of the kind of work I learned as a young one, and that's what surprised me, how consistent this was from ancient times, I guess you could say. So this is a doll to make someone leave, okay? And it's simply this. We talk about a doll, and everybody buys these fabulous flannel dolls and hand-sewn dolls and stuff, but this is just a little doll. And it comes from the 19th century, and it's called a baby doll. It's not called a poppet. It's not called a voodoo doll. It's called a baby doll. And it's made by a woman who's in the story. It's called Aunt Peggy, but we don't know what her real name was because this is a doll that was made and then described in a piece of fiction, although the doll is obviously from real work. So the body is made out of a piece of a corn stalk. So the stalk of a corn, if you've never thought about that, if you buy your corn on the cob, you'll know you get a little bit of corn stalk at the very end. That's the handle that you hold the corn on the cob from. So a piece of a corn stalk is pithy, and you can stick things into it. You can cut it with a knife when it's green and put things in it. So this is a doll made out of a corn stalk. Now, we're not talking about a Wicca corn dolly made out of woven wheat. Or anything, or barley, or anything like that. This is a corn stalk, meaning Indian maize, and it has splinters for the arms and legs. Well, by splinters, it doesn't mean like what's stuck into your finger and hurts, but little pieces of wood that have been chipped or whittled off a piece of kindling wood, straight grain wood. So we have a piece of corn stalk, and we have these so-called splinters. These are little pieces of wood, about the size of a toothpick, that would be used for the arms and legs. You could use toothpicks if you wanted to. The head is made out of elderberry pith. Now, pith is the sort of foamy-looking inside of some plants that have a hollow center. A corn has some pith in the center, but it's not solid. Elderberry bushes have a pith in the center that's solid and hard, and you can peel away the elderberry, and you end up with this pith, which can actually literally be carved, kind of like styrofoam, or actually not so much styrofoam, but some of that other more solid foam. So this is elderberry pith, but elderberry, why elderberry? Well, elderberry itself is a magical plant, and so that's the head has been carved out of that. And it has two red peppers for the feet. Now, when this was made, my understanding, because I've actually made this doll myself, you don't want to use dried red peppers. They won't stick on. But you're going to use actual red peppers that have been growing. And they look like, you want those little Scotch bonnet type peppers that look like little shoes, right? And you put them on the feet. You don't put them on the head now. You put them on the feet. Okay, and so the head of pith is created to be the doll's head, the pepper of the feet, and it is so that he will have to leave town. It's a hot foot doll, right? Do you understand how I'm describing this very old-fashioned work? And this was done, and it was to send somebody away, what we would call a false suitor. The elderberry in this case, although Miss Michael says in the chat room it's a protective plant, is to show that his head is lightheaded and hollow. He has no weight to his thoughts. It's like elderberry would just float away or float on water. Okay, so he loses his gravitas, as it were. So this was published in a story called Hotfoot Hannibal by a man named Charles Chestnut. And he was a man who was part black and part white, and was one of the first people who began to write about black folklore. Interestingly enough, he did it in the terms of fiction, but everything he wrote was stuff that was real and and is 19th century work. So that's the kind of old-fashioned work that is in some ways being lost.
Oh, that is fantastic. Just beautiful, beautiful working there to huff at someone. And you're right, something that is certainly being lost today. I just love the idea of stuffing with the pepper. I mean, there's such a simple and beautiful logic to that, and it makes perfect sense. I know that I've made cloth dolls like that where I put the peppers in the feet, and let me tell you, it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's solid, solid stuff. In fact, if you can't get access to a person by laying out powders, I would say hot foot doll is far better than lighting hot foot candles or any other kind of way of doing that. The doll is really, there's something about it that allows you to really kind of connect to that person's spirit. What do you think, Deacon Mark?
Well, I'm in love with the logic of it, and I think that this is what I like so much about voodoo, is that there's a sensibility to it. It's just, you know, for someone with five planets and earth signs, it just makes sense to me. And I love being able to follow the thought process as the spell is laid out. Certainly, I think I've got some reading to do. I'm going to have to look up Chestnut and make sure I've read every single one of his stories, because
right.
That
well,
is
I posted a link. I posted a link in the chat room to this particular story. All his stories are in the public domain. There are many others too. Now, this goes further. What does he do with this doll baby? What does the Aunt Peggy do with the doll baby? She buries it.
Oh.
Where?
Mm-hmm. Where?
Where? Hannibal has to walk over it. And then she tells her client, she says, whose name is Jeff, she says, Jeff, once he leaves, you have to pull this thing up and give it back to me. If you don't, there'll be trouble for you. And now you got to read the story to find out, does Jeff pull up the doll baby after Hannibal leaves?
<That's fantastic. laughs> Thank you, Miss Kat, for being our guest today and for giving us such a fantastic spell. It's always a treat. Thank you, Deacon Millet, for filling in for Miss Kat. This was such a fun group and a great topic and an absolutely wonderful show. Thank you both. Let us have the unflappable Papa Newt come in and lead us on out.
Thank you, Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Deacon Millet, and thank you, Miss Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, who will be Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, discussing Lady Caridad del Cobre, or Our Lady of Charity. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Deacon Millet in fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. The Lucky Mojo, oh, I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, coming to you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time, when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Papa New, for your introduction, whatever you want to call it. Couldn't have done the show without you or the wonderful Nagashiba. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and making the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour what it is. All of you that tune in by phone, who come into the chat room and hang out with us, it is absolutely a pleasure to have you all here. Once again, thank you to Ms. Kat. Hopefully, you'll be a guest more often. I don't get a chance to say that to you often. So
thanks for having me as a guest. It was a pleasure to be here.
It was absolutely fun, and what a great, great topic. I hope that everyone has a fantastic week, and we hope to see you next weekend right here at the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour.
Good night.
Good night.